This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. Authorities said a quick decision to lock the doors of a Northern California elementary school after staffers heard gunfire was monumental in saving the lives of countless children. Tehama County Assistant Sheriff Phil Johnston says it appears the gunman tried to get into rooms at Rancho Tehama School, but the lockdown prevented him from doing so.
What it appears to be is that he became frustrated not being able to get into the classroom. And he, so he went mobile again. He encountered some other people on the road, crashed into their vehicle, shot at them.
The gunman chose his targets at random in the tiny rural town Tuesday, killing 4 people and wounding at least 10 others before police shot him dead. Roy Moore said again at a rally in Alabama he will not pull out of the state senatorial race due to allegations that he acted inappropriately towards teen girls decades ago. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was asked about the idea of replacing Moore with Jeff Sessions, who was the senior senator for Alabama until he was appointed as attorney general.
It's up to the people of Alabama to make this decision. I think they have a lot of information now. In making a decision, obviously from a Republican point of view, we would hope to save the seat, and that might require a write-in, and all of those things are under discussion.
Moore's denied all the allegations against him. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise says Congress is pushing to finish their tax overhaul and get financial relief to American families.
Families that have been struggling, that are living paycheck to paycheck, are going to see real benefits. You're going to see our country finally be competitive again. We're all sick and tired of watching jobs get moved overseas because we have the highest corporate tax rate in the industrialized world.
Democratic Congressman Joe Crowley of New York claims the GOP tax plan will inevitably steal from the poor to pay the rich.
It will blow out the national debt by an additional $2.3 trillion.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
After emerging from a maple glazed turkey daze, the last thing anyone wants is to get bogged down in the chaotic Black Friday shopping lines. Luckily, SelectBlinds.com makes it easy to score huge savings on blinds, all from the comfort of your hibernation den. Take advantage of Select Blinds' biggest Black Friday sale ever with unbeatable deals on high-quality custom blinds, shades, and shutters. You won't see discounts this big again all year. Select Blinds takes the guesswork out of ordering blinds online by offering high-quality blinds for an unbelievable price. Select Blinds has the most online reviews and 5-star ratings on the planet. That's more than 1 million satisfied customers. SelectBlinds.com really is the smart way to get blinds. Shop the Black Friday sale today at SelectBlinds.com for amazing deals on blinds, shades, and shutters. Remember to mention our show at checkout using the drop-down menu. Select Blinds. Simple. Smart. Custom. SelectBlinds.com.
The European Union's chief taxation official says he wants a blacklist of uncooperative tax havens before the end of the year.
EU Taxation Commissioner Pierre Moscovici told the EU's parliament that the revelations in the Paradise Papers on widespread tax dodging by multinationals and the wealthy show the change must come soon. Moscovici also says he wanted strict rules on more transparency for agents who work on fiscal optimization for their wealthy clients. High-tax countries like France have pushed for the blacklist in a Europe-wide crackdown on tax havens. Lower-tax countries like Ireland and the Netherlands argue that'll hurt Europe's competitiveness. Jeremy House reporting.
Iranian President Rouhani launched an investigation Tuesday into why government housing built by his hardline predecessor collapsed while others withstood a powerful earthquake near the border with Iraq that killed more than 530 people. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Alaska Airlines is halting flights to Cuba.
Alaska Airlines is getting out of the Cuba business. The Seattle-based airline says it will stop flying to Havana because of a drop in demand and new restrictions on travel to Cuba imposed by the Trump administration. Alaska Airlines began flying from Los Angeles to Havana in January and after a slow start had strong demand through the summer, but bookings fell in the fall. Last week, the Trump administration ended an allowance for individual travel to Cuba. Alaska Airlines says its last flight to Havana is planned for January. January 22nd. I'm Mike Rossia.
Three UCLA basketball players detained in China on suspicion of shoplifting returned home, where they may be disciplined by the school as a result of the international scandal. Freshmen LiAngelo Ball, Jalen Hill, and Cody Riley arrived at Los Angeles International Airport late Tuesday afternoon after a 12-hour flight from Shanghai, where the 23rd-ranked Bruins were playing Georgia Tech in an international game. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez live here with you. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. As we've been telling you, Keith Kaufler is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about his brand new book, Bannon, Always the Rebel. Keith, an award-winning reporter who's covered four presidents, the founder, editor of White House Dossier, which covers the executive branch. He is the former senior editor of the Washington Examiner and author of this book, Bannon, Always the Rebel. Keith, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, David Horowitz, author of The Big Agenda, says by now everyone in America knows Steve Bannon, the force of nature who has shaped the Trump presidency more than anyone except Trump himself. So if you want to know what's behind that force of nature, if you want to know Steve Bannon, the man, this is the indispensable book for you. What an endorsement, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was great to get that from David. Very generous of him.
Well, as we know, Bannon did help engineer one of the greatest upsets in political history, the election of Donald J. Trump as president of the United States. For you, right there in the belly of the beast on the Beltway, you felt that, people needed to have some understanding of Bannon because a lot about him has been kept in the realm of the mystery, mainly because of the mainstream media.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, David's quote that you mentioned is really what I tried to do with the book. I was offered to take a look at Bannon. I was offered the biography. And before I did that, I did some research to sort of see for myself what he was about. And I realized that, a lot of what gets said about him is caricature, basically, that he is portrayed as this sort of, Saturday Night Live as the devil behind Donald Trump and as a racist and so forth. And so, I wanted to understand him better and understand his thinking. And that was what the book was devoted to. It's less of a who, stabbed who behind the back type of book and more about what does Bannon stand for? What is he trying to do for Americans? What is his ideology? And, what does he think? What are going to be the consequences for average people of the things that he is trying to do and why they should like him or potentially dislike him? So I wanted to get beneath, the caricatures that's out there, and I just found a very fascinating person as I got to know him.
Yeah, he has quite the background, as you realized as you studied him a little bit deeper and got outside of the punditry and and I think the scare tactics and as you say the caricature of how Steve Bannon has been presented. What did you discover that surprised you about Steve Bannon?
Well, I guess there were several things. I mean, the first thing is just how knowledgeable he is. He, since a young age, there's a story in the book about, his siblings told me that he would, once every week or every couple of weeks, a box would arrive in the house, and it would be a box of books for Steve, and he would just race upstairs and just start reading through them. So, you know, he was a bookworm from a very early age, although he was also kind of a tough, fighter also at an early age. It's kind of a contradiction, in a way. But, you know, what I found is that, you know, when you talk to him, he is able to cite all kinds of works of history. A friend of mine told me, a friend of his told me that he could tell you about any major battle that the United States had had, really since the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. His knowledge of even Roman history, Greek history, even American sociologists who have been writing recently, you know, the things that he is doing is based on, are based on a knowledge of the country and of, the thinking behind the country's culture, that I hadn't, understood. So that was one of the major things that, surprised me. This isn't just sort of a guy who's looking for power or looking to inflict a political ideology on someone. It's a person who has been reading and thinking for a very long time and understands, what he wants to do.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that out, Keith, because I've been impressed whenever you hear him talk. He speaks with such depth that it's not just a cursory knowledge. I mean, some people can enter politics and have a cursory knowledge of certain topics and that sort of thing and think, okay, but he goes deep and you come away, at least I have come away in hearing him thinking, wow, he knows what he's talking about and the way he connects the dots with history and how he's bringing it into the modern era is impressive.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was funny when they were when everybody was objecting to him being on the National Security Council, you know, and I, you know, that was before I had interviewed him and I saw that. And then they kind of threw him off of there. But he was, yeah, he told me that casually he would attend the meetings anyway. But when you look at, you know, when you talk to him and you realize his knowledge of the sort of the way the world works and the geostrategic position of various countries, whether it's China, Russia, and so forth, and how he can relate that to what they're doing now and what has happened in history, you realize that his knowledge has to so far exceed that of some of the, you know, maybe not McMaster, but some of the younger people that you hear about on the National Security Council. He just does understand how countries interact with each other and what the history is, and was completely qualified. And my, you know, and also he was in the Navy for 6 years. I mean, just was completely qualified to have been a national security advisor.
Well, you sense with him that there's passion, certainly, but it's backed with intelligence. It's not an empty passion, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, that's the funny thing about him. And it's kind of a rare combination. You know, there are a lot of passionate people out there, and then there are sort of the Ivy League types, Ivy Tower types, rather, who have a lot of knowledge but never do anything about it. He is a formidable sort of figure in that he both possesses a knowledge and an ideology and an ability to argue on behalf of his positions, and he has the energy and drive and even sometimes the ruthlessness to try to move his positions into, you know, to convince people in power to adopt his positions and convince average Americans to agree with him. So it's kind of a, it's kind of an interesting and very formidable combination, I think.
Well, what I have found is you get the intellectuals, the academics that were, you know, I guess they were pretty prevalent in the previous administration. Academia reigned quite abundantly in the previous administration. With Bannon, he's intellectual, but he doesn't necessarily stay connected to the theoretical. I don't hear a lot of theoretical and possibility with him. I mean, when he says something, it's based on empirical evidence, it would appear. Yeah. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but this has just been my impression.
Right, and I think, you know, one place, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, because he's already thought it through, so he knows what he wants. Unlike a lot of people who maybe they have some education, maybe they have done some studying, and they have an idea of what they want, but then they vacillate because they haven't come to conclusions. And what he has done is come to conclusions and acted. And, you know, you talk about sort of the over-intellectualization of the previous administration. I think one place we saw that was in Syria, you know, when Assad, you know, first crossed Obama's red line and started using chemical weapons, and Obama thought about it and wrung his hands and said, well, maybe we'll go to Congress, and then, oh, the Russians want to help out. And, you know, Trump, when Bannon was in the White House at that point, Trump thought about it for about a day and sent some missiles over, and that was the end of Assad and chemical weapons. And
exactly.
There was no over-intellectualizing the whole thing.
Keith, we got to take a quick pause. We'll be right back. More from Keith Coffler right after this. Stay with us, America.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckinridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT, only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day and sharing some time with Keith Koffler, the award-winning reporter. And we're talking about his latest book, Bannon, Always the Rebel. As you were saying earlier before the break, Keith, that the previous administration spent a lot of time thinking about it because I felt like they operated so much in the realm of the theoretical. And, you know, and it's in this current administration, and certainly as represented with one Steve Bannon, you get the impression that, look, it's time to process information, but it's also time to come to a decision. And Bannon seems to be one who, in the idea of the Myers-Briggs quotient of a judger and a processor, he processes quickly, but when it's time to judge, he's got a decision that he's made up and is pretty solid and backed with evidence.
Yes, I think that's right. And that's why you saw some very quick decisions early on, you know, on the orders related to the travel ban, which at first didn't work out, but then eventually I think was basically accepted by the Supreme Court. There was another order that was less well known, which he's also equally proud of, on immigration, which, expressed that the administration was going to get serious about ending things like catch and release and so forth. And, you know, that decreased the amount of illegal immigration into the country. So I think there is, you know, has been a sense of decisiveness with Trump and Bannon and when Bannon was in the White House. You know, where they've obviously fallen down, though, is in, so far at least, in their ability to get Congress to do some things. And, of course, that is a great bastion of indecisiveness, especially it seems like with Republicans leading it, it seems like the Democrats are much better at knocking all their troops into line than the Republicans are.
Exactly. They cannot seem to understand that they've got a president who's willing to sign legislation where previously for 8 years they had one that there was no way they were going to get anything signed. And it's just like, wait a minute, hello, did you guys not get the memo? You know who got elected in November? Speaking of which, let's go back, Keith. Does Donald J. Trump get elected president without Steve Bannon?
You know, that's a very good question. I think that you mean in 2020 potentially?
No. I'm talking in 2016. Does he get elected? Yeah. Is he the president of the United States without Steve Bannon?
Yeah. I really believe that he's not. And of course, Trump wouldn't want to hear that. He doesn't like to think that that it was anything other than him. And of course, the most important factor in that election was Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. However, what Bannon did during the election was he kept Trump completely focused on this populist message, on this message that he is fighting for the working class, that he is fighting for to limit trade, on immigration, these messages that were going to appeal to the middle class base that had to elect Trump, and that Hillary was the establishment, that Hillary was old hat, and that Trump was an agent of change. And what Bannon told me was that was the whole purpose, and he repeated that endlessly to Trump. When Trump had the, you know, when the video came out, the Act of Hollywood video came out, and even Trump said to Bannon, you know, well, do you think this is looking kind of bad? Do you think? And Bannon said, no, you know, I don't know what he thought inside, but he told Trump, no, you stick to your message, you stick to this populist message, you will get elected. I believe it is what elected him. These are the voters: Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, Michigan. These are the voters that ultimately came out and elected him. If they didn't stick ruthlessly and relentlessly to this message, I don't think Trump would have gotten elected.
Well, you know, it's the challenge that I found. And for many years, I consulted many chief executive officers across the country, and I told them the number one thing they needed to do was keep banging the drum of the mission. And, you know, and that can get boring, you know, sometimes. You know, CEOs love to create, and they're sometimes it's like herding cats, you know, with many personalities.
Right.
And, you know, and you talk about Bannon being the rebel. I mean, here he is. Maybe it took one to work with one because, you know, Donald Trump is, you know, he would go off, you know, off somewhere, you know, and it took Bannon to bring him back to say, wait a minute, here's the focus, right?
Yes. And that's the thing about Bannon is that, you know, the book's called Always the Rebel, and he is always the rebel, but he is always the rebel with a cause.
Yes.
He's not just, I mean, it is within his personality to be rebellious for sure. But even his sister was telling me at one point, you know, he always had something that he was fighting for. Mm-hmm. And what he, in addition to being a rebel, he's unusual in that he is very disciplined. I mean, he got off drinking and hasn't had a drink in 20 years. And he is someone who, you know, if he's found that cause to be rebellious about, he will stick to it and just fight for it like a tiger. And that's what he's going to be doing, I think, over the next 5, even 10 years trying to change the Republican Party. He's not going to deviate from that. Mm-hmm.
Keith, you know, after the first week of Donald Trump being in the Oval Office, he came out of the Rose Garden. I can still picture the look on his face. It was a look of shocked reality when he said to the press, he goes, "This is really messed up. It's worse." You know, the sense was, "This is worse than I even expected." It reminded me, as I mentioned, I consulted many businesses, and I went through an era with one category in particular that went through a lot of Chapter 11s and 7s, and you know, and you'd see attorneys that would come in, and they'd look at the books, and they'd have that look of, "Oh, it's metastasized. It's cancerous. Yeah. You just got to seal the body up and call it a day," you know. And that's what you had this sense. And I'm wondering for Steve Bannon himself, what in his grip of reality, now he's in the belt, in the Oval Office with the President of the United States. How did this adjust his reality to how much trouble the United States of America is in?
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember that moment, and that was a big moment for me too. Trump came out. It might have been in the East Room, and he said, "It's a mess." Mm-hmm. You know what this guy basically, because obviously it seemed at that point he'd gotten a lot more briefings on the actual state of the country, whether it's national security or economics. And he said, "I was left a mess," as you're saying. And so I think that, you know, I mean, for Bannon, you know, Bannon tends to look at the upside of things, and for him, well, then there's a lot of work to do and a lot that can be corrected, and given that there's so much that needs to be changed, it gives him even more of a chance to implement the type of policies that I think he wants to establish for the country.
What happened for Steve Bannon when he decided that he could help Donald Trump more on the outside than the inside? What occurred?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think it's not completely clear with that, because it does depend on who you talk to. I mean, I talked to Bannon about it, and, you know, and I think he was, you know, giving me a little bit more of the bright side of it than maybe was exactly right. It was really both things. You know, he was hated by a lot of people in the White House, obviously, and that's well known, and so there was pressure on him to leave. Also, the new chief of staff, General Kelly, came in, and that completely restricted Bannon's access to President Trump. So there were, you know, from the standpoint of people trying to force him out, and I think Kelly didn't want him there either. There was that. But Bannon was always planning to leave, I think, by the end of the year.
Right, that's what I understood as well.
That his time there was going to be limited, and that he would eventually probably annoy enough people or just feel frustrated enough himself that he would want to go on the outside. So it was really both. He probably left a little bit earlier than he had planned, but he was still planning to leave pretty soon. And you know,
he could see the exit door.
Yes. He saw the exit door, but he was also kind of strolling toward it, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, you might put it. And I think he feels that he can be very effective where he is, because after all, you know, Trump makes a lot of phone calls, you know, after General Kelly goes home and Ivanka goes home, and Trump is still there, and he gets on the phone and calls people like Bannon, and so he's still basically advising him.
Well, Keith, congratulations on the book and revealing, you know, and giving us some inside look into this incredible rebel, as you say, with a cause, not without a cause, but with a cause, Steve Bannon. As we wrap this up, we got about 20 seconds. What do you want people to take away?
Well, I guess I want them to take away that this is not just, I guess as we sort of began, it's just not just someone who is trying to hurt people. You know, he believes he's not anti-Hispanic. He wants more Hispanics in the Republican Party, but he believes the way to do that is to convince them of his populist message, and the same thing with African Americans. He wants more of them in the Republican Party. He's not this racist sort of caricature that people think. It's a well thought out philosophy that he believes is good for all people.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll love the book. You'll love finding out more about Steve Bannon, always the rebel, Keith Koffler on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you so much. Hey,
This report is brought to you by the National Safety Council. According to a National Safety Council poll, approximately 1 in 4 Americans has been directly affected by the opioid crisis. They may know someone who has overdosed, someone who is addicted, or they may have become addicted themselves. The National Safety Council has launched the Stop Everyday Killers campaign nationwide to literally illustrate the faces behind the numbers. The campaign includes a memorial wall made of pills, individually hand-carved with the faces of the 22,000 people lost last year to prescription opioid overdose. The memorial will travel across the country in the coming months. The campaign also seeks to educate about the scope of the problem and promote proven solutions. Deborah Herzman, President and CEO of the National Safety Council.
The opioid crisis is the most fatal drug epidemic in recorded U.S. history. It claims a life every 24 minutes. The Stop Everyday Killers campaign will play a critical role in shifting the national attitude about opioid painkillers while simultaneously prompting visitors to take life-saving actions.
To learn more, visit StopEverydayKillers.org.
Have you checked your ECS lately? We have. We are New Pharma, scientists who specialize in human functions controlled by the endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Let me simplify. Your ECS is involved in physiological processes like appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and immune systems. New Pharma's patent-pending science is the big difference in our natural solutions, formulated for your well-being. For example, our foundation product provides targeted nutrition to support a healthy endocannabinoid system, which is directly responsible for managing and controlling inflammation. This product contains turmeric, which is known as one of the best anti-inflammatories on the planet. Our allergies product contains sage, which is a very effective decongestant. See all of our amazing capsules, essential oils, and ECS herbal teas at GNUPHARMA.com. New Pharma. Your path to wellness begins here.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and Wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. November 15th is marking America Recycles Day. Now, yet this year, there is cause for concern. China recently announced its intent to ban the import of certain recyclable materials by year's end. Among the items included are most scrap plastics and paper, with more than $5.2 billion in scrap commodities exported from the United States to mainland China last year alone. The trade in specification grade commodities, metals, paper, and plastics between the United States and China is of critical importance to the health and success of the U.S.-based recycling industry. If implemented, a ban on scrap imports will result in the loss of tens of thousands of jobs and closure of many recycling businesses throughout the U.S. Local communities may no longer accept certain items for recycling, forcing these materials to landfills if new markets are not developed. Now, you may not be aware of this, but China is the recycling industry's largest customer in 2016. U.S. scrap exports to China included more than $1.9 billion in scrap paper and $282 million in scrap plastics. And did you know, this is a little factoid here before we bring on our guest, Adina Renee Adler, the recycling industry is directly and indirectly responsible for more than 534,000 jobs in the United States. Adina Renee Adler joins us now. She's the senior director of government relations and international affairs for the Institute of the Scrap Recycling Industries. Adina, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good, doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, excellent to have you here to talk about this. Let's talk about, you know, what action has China taken and why does it threaten recycling as we know it? I think I laid it out in a fundamental way, but I want to hear it from, your expertise on this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as you said, we collect a lot of recyclable materials here in the United States. We're pretty darn good recyclers. Mm-hmm. But we can't use it all here, and so we do have to export about a third of what we collect. And we do export to actually 150 different countries around the world, but China, of course, takes in the vast majority of it. About 40% of what we export goes to China. Mm-hmm. And this is because of their manufacturing drive of the last 5 to 10 years. China understands that scrap is a highly valued commodity that can be used in place of primary materials. It helps to save energy and protect the environment, and it's good for our economy as well as their economy. Mm-hmm. But they have a fairly serious environmental crisis on their hands. You've seen the pictures of the pollution right. in their major cities. But some of that pollution also is happening in their lands and in their waterways. And so they decided this year to think about the management of waste, and that includes materials that come into China. Unfortunately, sometimes even the highest valued and the cleanest scrap was commingled with rubbish and was making their ways to their landfills, and they've just decided that they want to clamp down on that. But they're also trying to think about how to be better recyclers themselves.
Mm-hmm. So do you see this as a long-term problem, or is this a short-term solution to something that they, you know, good for China, first of all, in realizing that they need to do something about it? I think we can all applaud that. But do you see this as a something that would be long-term, or that, the hope is once they get a better handle on this, that, they will again, help out in terms of recycling?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I mean, in the short term, we are going to see a significant impact here in the United States in terms of, you know, we've already heard announcements from some municipalities that are banning plastics from entering their recycling streams, which means, unfortunately, those plastics are heading into our landfills. But China is just, they understand the value of our scrap commodities, that they are usable. They still have manufacturers that demand these materials. And so I think what's happening is you'll start to see a drive towards demanding just a cleaner stream of scrap commodities. And so kind of translates to what we can do at home to make sure that we're recycling the correct materials, and that we just take a second to clean out our tomato sauce jars to make sure that there's no food residue that could inadvertently contaminate the newspapers that we also throw into our bins, and so that many more materials can go into the recycling stream and can still be exported to China. And also our industry, we're pretty darn good at innovators as well. There's
right.
a lot more technology that's constantly coming out to better process these materials. And so I don't think it'll be a long-term impact. It'll just be a different way of thinking about recycling.
Well, and if we get the public involved, and this is, why I appreciate you coming on here, is to educate our audience so that they understand that, recycling is a good thing, and we probably haven't talked about it as much as we should in terms of some additional responsibility, because sometimes, we're very casual about, cleaning out the cans, and if we do that, this is going to help, especially when you consider the impact that this is going to have on the short term anyway, because recycling is generating $13 billion in federal, state, and local tax revenue annually, and this is going to take a hit, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We, as you said at the top of our talk, we have about a half a billion number of indirect and direct jobs that our industry supports. Our total economic impact is about $117 billion to the U.S. economy. And so there is going to be an impact on, you know, if these materials can't get to their market, you know, what now? How are you going to recycle it? But I think if we can just take that second at home to clean things off, you know, maybe pat it dry, make sure that we're not throwing in there materials that actually cannot be recycled, then they go into the recycling stream and that many more materials can be captured and sent to our companies. The companies that we represent are the ones that process them down into, you know, usable commodities again, and then they send them off to the factories that make, you know, new consumer goods or park benches or bridges. And I think just understanding that whole supply chain, you know,
exactly.
You know, then it comes back to how we can help and make a difference.
Yeah, I think in a way, I know that for some people they might hear the actions of China and be a little distressed over, but I think it's a good thing because it raises the level, the awareness that this is a symbiotic relationship. And if we honor that relationship, it's win-win for everybody on down the line, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you can start with people just calling their local communities and saying, how can we do this better? How can we work together? How do the communities work with the recycling companies to understand it? And the recycling companies, you know, we at ISRI also work with manufacturers, you know, on a program called Design for Recycling. Like, how do we make sure that the automobiles are designed so that eventually when they're at their end of life, they can be broken down into usable materials or computers or telephones or things? You know, how do we think ahead of the game that when they are at end of life, they can be recycled?
Well, I'll tell you, recycling is here to stay. I mean, we grew up as kids. We didn't know about recycling. And you just think in a short number of decades, America has come a long way. I think the world along with it. And I believe the future of cycling looks rather bright. Adina, you're the expert. What do you say?
I think so. As I said, we're continuing to create these new technologies to make new stuff. And I think we would all be surprised, to know how much of the stuff we use in everyday life was actually made from recyclable materials.
Exactly.
And we can make even more.
Well, Adina, we got to wrap it up here right now. So remind everybody where they can go for more information, if you would.
Yeah, please visit our website, www.isri.org. We have a ton of information about what can and can't be recycled, you know, educational resources for our schools, educating the materials recovery facilities to understand how to process better, and just what's happening in commodity markets around the world. Everything you've ever wanted to know about recycling.
Well, good stuff here. I really appreciate the information. She's the Senior Director of Government Relations and International Affairs for the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries, Adina Renee Adler. I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Adina. Appreciate it.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
This report is brought to you by the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. November is National Hospice and Palliative Care Month. This year marks the 35th anniversary of the Medicare Hospice Benefit, which has brought high-quality, patient-centered care to millions of Americans. The National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization is working to help people understand that hospice increases quality of life when a cure is not possible, and that it allows patients to spend their final months at home with support for family caregivers. Hospice care is widely covered by both Medicare and most private insurance plans. Ido Banik, NHPCO President and CEO.
One of the biggest misconceptions about hospice is that it's only brink-of-death care, which is simply not true. There's no reason to fear hospice. It's meant to provide comfort during the final months of life, not just the final hours, and allows patients to make their end-of-life journey at home, surrounded by their loved ones, where they want to be.
To learn more about hospice, see videos of hospice in action, or find a provider in your community, visit momentsoflife.org.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
Listening to Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Martinez Live. This is Andrea Kay, unexpectedly filling in here for you, but that's okay, because you know this segment on Wednesdays, right this time, is Cooler Talk with AK, and, you know, I don't know where you guys are right now listening, but I got to tell you what everybody's continuing to talk about in Southern California is a couple of things where I'm at. I'm in Southern California, and kind of what's happening here and what everybody's rapping about is continuing with the discussion about what's happening in the Deep South, what's happening in my former neck of the woods regarding Judge Moore and the accusations against Moore. And, you know, this topic about abuse of women and sexual harassment of women is a really touchy, important topic for me, because I'm one of these women who did face sexual harassment in the workplace and was actually assaulted at one point, actually multiple occasions, and managed to fend off my attackers. But if you're a woman who's been through this, then whenever there is an allegation against someone, particularly high profile, you take it serious, because you know what it's like to be the woman that's on the other end of that. So back when we found out that there was a woman who was left with a bloody lip in the White House, and that there was a war room set up on behalf of the wife, the first lady, to deal with the, quote, bimbo eruptions against women who were making allegations of a sitting president, you go, you know what? At that time, you know, we took those allegations seriously. We expected there to be investigations, and, you know, and not to automatically believe any woman who comes forth with an allegation, but we believe in the justice system in this country, and we believe that you are innocent until proven guilty. So when you have a woman coming out against somebody high profile, I do think it matters how a woman does it. I think that an investigation needs to take place, and then there needs to be a proper investigation, and if there's evidence of an actual crime, charges should be filed. There's a statute of limitations for a reason, okay? So I have a concern as a woman when I see somebody coming forth 40 years and exactly to the day in which it's too late for another politician to step in and run for office at that point. If these allegations were true, she needed to come forward. She or the more accusers needed to come forward sooner. They needed to come forth before 40 years. If she's this torn up, that she's crying hysterically sitting next to Gloria Allred, then I have no explanation for why this woman waited 40 something years, and specifically, and to speak up 40 something years later and not go to the authorities with it, but go to Gloria Allred and do a press conference and have it be obvious that the point of why you're coming forward now is to affect an election. It's like, in the words of the great Judge Judy, y'all know I love me some Judge Judy. In the words of the great Judge Judy, don't come into my courtroom with dirty hands. And you got dirty hands when you're sitting next to Gloria Allred and you chose a moment for political reasons.
The problem is, Andrea, and I got to thank you for carrying the day here, as we had a gremlin, as we used to say in electronic school, sometimes you end up with a knot in the cord. And I don't know, Scott was able to untangle it, so now we're connected again. Yeah, okay. This thing is all suspicious. I mean, it's just this is the card now that's being played, sexual harassment. If it's not a racial card, it's this. And, here we are after, as you say, 40 years of the judge being scrutinized. And now we're trying to revisit something 40 years ago. And it is amazing. And, it's not only with Judge Moore, but now we're finding out that we, the people, have been paying hush money to staffers there on the Hill that have been abused over the years. And look at how many millions of dollars have been paid out because of congressmen acting badly.
Well, look at Bob Menendez. Didn't he do something shady with children, pedophiles? And we had Lindsey going in, and was it Lindsey Graham who went to testify on behalf and did a character witness for Bob Menendez?
Exactly.
Now he's Mr. Pedophile, but now he's asking for Judge Moore to step down. Here in San Diego, we had Filthy Filner. I mean, every Democrat, including Democrat women, wanted him out of Congress because he was groping everybody and sexually assaulting women. So no, they sent him to San Diego, and he became the mayor until he was impeached and out of office. You know,
it's always get to that point where it's one grope too many, you know, and so to speak. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I thought I was just thinking it. Forgive me.
Well, you did, and you're not supposed to make a joke about these things.
No,
it's the Trump card.
Yeah, no, it is. No doubt about it. And I don't mean to make fun of it. Obviously, it's serious stuff, and it's interesting that it's all coming out. I mean, it's like here it is, Hollywood's on almost full exposure, and now here we've got congressmen. I mean, just at every turn now. Wow, this is out of control here.
It is, and I'm glad you brought up the thing about Hollywood, because I actually had a conservative say to me, "Here's the trap that Republicans could be in right now." A conservative said to me the other day, I said, what do you think about this Moore's accuser? They're credible to me. Well, credibility it doesn't necessarily translate to proof or facts. Mm. And it could just be somebody who's good at acting. Because I can get over I don't understand the hysteria that was displayed in a press conference over something that happened 40 years ago. Mm. If you're that hysterical at this point, you should have gone to the cops long ago. But I don't think that it's the same thing. And even if her point was this, if we're going to believe all of Harvey Weinstein's accusers, then we need to believe these people here. Well, I haven't necessarily said that Harvey Weinstein's accusers are automatically to believe. I have said, like everybody else, they need to file charges with the police department. There needs to be investigations, and charges need to be filed if there's a burden of proof. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but the Harvey Weinstein and other accusers are not doing it for the blatant purpose of trying to affect an election. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing it 40 years too late.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, this is the bothersome stuff. I mean, is this the new normal in politics now? That you get, you have now sexual harassment issues that are thrown out. I mean, they threw it at Trump during the campaign. He was able to overcome it. And now here, Judge Moore, weeks away. And, the amazing thing, and I know it's not all just about the seat and everything, but it's just like the Republicans could not move fast enough to get him underneath the bus here without any kind of due process. This is what's bothersome, is that a lot, this is all being handled in the court of opinion, and 40 years of dedicated service, to Alabama, and that is now all being, trashed and thrown under. And I don't blame the constituents there. They're rallying, they're coming around Judge Moore and saying, look at, he's our guy. We know him. We trust him. And, and these other things that are coming. See, the other stuff that happens too, Andrea, is that what may be acceptable in some area, or colloquial or whatever, or common in an area, could be different when you put it in the national scope. That's not to give any room. I mean, look at it. If the guy's did some bad stuff, then he's going to be guilty of it, and let it go through the process. But there are certain things in areas that of the country that happen that are all very acceptable. And I don't know. I mean, I don't have all the facts here, so I don't know. It puts us all in a very difficult position.
It does. And women who wait 40 years and time it like this and do it in this way, that's wrong in and of itself. Because if this man did this, he was equally high profile during the primaries. I mean, it was all over the news all every day that Trump backed Strange and this Moore thing. She had ample opportunity to come forward and not just stop him from getting this seat, but actually stop him from hurting other women if this had been true. Mm-hmm. And as a woman, I have a little bit of a problem with that. And the Republicans, this is same old, same old. Herman Cain faced this. Republicans, any allegation is believed to be true, and somebody's got to give up their life and their office and their work, and Democrats get away with it.
Yeah, the double standard is it's just unbelievable. But, yeah, this is the new political arena in which we live in, and Republicans need to understand that, hey, if you're Republican, you're going to be more highly scrutinized, even if you have the majority, it seems like. So, Andrea Kay, it's Schooler Talk time, and she's talking what everybody else is talking about. Thank you.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.